We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig. Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a headline from the Manchester Evening News, read by Cathy Clugston.
Dominatrix, battling to keep Stockport Fetish Club open, says she will not go down without a fight.
And our thanks to all those who sent that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Bob Mills. And opposite them on my left, Holly Walsh and Fred McCauley. Jeremy, whose statement sets him up for a fall?
George Osborne's autumn statement, mini-budget election manifesto, really. I think with elections, they should have snap elections that are called when the Chancellor of the Exchequer is in the lavatory and knows nothing about it. Because basically all the government's been doing and is going to be doing between now and the next election is fighting the election instead of actually running the country. But it's not going to plan. You know, the deficit isn't where it should be. The national debt isn't where it should be. And yet, Osborne is not being criticised in the media. So Osborne wears the expression of a man who soiled his trousers without anyone noticing. Some concern, but tremendous relief at having got away with it.
Osborne didn't seem at all embarrassed. We are £91.3 billion in debt. That is terrifying. Not as terrifying as Tony Blair's Christmas card, but nevertheless, it's...
I will stand by George Osborne, whatever his politics, because any man who can sit in a hairdresser's chair on a monthly basis and say, yeah, I've seen all the books, but I'm sticking with Mick McManus. That's a conviction politician right there.
Some of it was a bit weird. I thought, what about this tunnel underneath Stonehenge? What are we trying to help Druids commute? What's going on?
Also, how long is this tunnel going to take to build? I mean, they haven't even finished off Stonehenge yet. The builders around there are slow.
Well, I mean, never mind about that. Didn't we not just pay off World War One? I mean, that's quite slow, isn't it? I believe this week the last rescue boat searching for survivors on the Titanic is returning as well.
The whole point of the A303 is that you take the A303 when you've got time. If you haven't got time, you go M3, M27 or M4, M5, depending where you're coming from. But if you take the A303 because you get to have a good long old look at Stonehenge for free, that's
exactly.
Why you
Do you know what, Jeremy? That is, suddenly, as you said those things, I see myself standing at a really dreary New Year's Eve party with a glass of punch.
We're men,
and I've
okay.
ended up with the bloke who's explaining how he got
Listen.
There.
Women talk about their feelings, men do directions, okay?
You know what else they're going to do? They're going to make Bicester a garden city.
Yes,
I Well, let me tell you something, Bicester. Before you start getting poncy and being a garden city, just learn how to spell your own name.
It joins Wellin, Ebbsfleet, and presumably that newly gentrified area the Teletubbies used to live in. But I love the mayor's speech from Bicester. It must have been, I have a dream that one day Bicester will be just like Ebbsfleet.
My favourite part, if I may, about this whole thing is Nick Clegg, who said, so what's happening? George is telling them what's happening to the economy. And is Ed going to be... He'll be arguing with him. Right, I'm just going to pop out. I'll try and make it back, but if I don't, just slide up. Everyone just slide up one. But he had the brilliant thing where he said, no, I was visiting the flood defences, and came up with a brilliant line where he said, well, I had two choices. I could either stand there listening to Ed Bulls ranting on about the economy, or I could go and talk to some normal people. And so went down to Somerset and made himself look good in the process.
Well, actually, I think he was in Penzance, where I think he's appearing in Panto till February.
Clegg,
yes,
according to a spokesman for the Lib Dems, said that he wants to spend a little less time in the House of Commons. Mm. And I think that's something that the voters will help him with and me.
The thing I didn't understand, and this because I get confused about... Why did he make the autumn statement in the winter?
Yeah.
That's
a very good point, actually.
It's a worrying effect of global warming.
They're seasonally adjusting their figures now, moving them into different seasons.
Yeah. I think they should do spring-summer, but they do it for the... Yeah, it's the same fashion, isn't it? They do spring-summer, but they're doing
collection.
It for the next autumn.
Not a statement to collection.
Yeah. It's always very dry, isn't it? I mean, every single year, I think, or maybe during the autumn statement, they could read a few poems by Elizabeth Barrett Browning and just make it a bit more...
Why doesn't he stand up and say, the leaves are turning on the trees, and make it something lovely,
something
like
nice.
That?
He can't do that poem about the leaves are turning brown, because just as you said, it's winter.
Exactly, they've all fallen off the
leaves
trees.
Leaves have all fallen off the trees.
Statement.
I'm bringing the country to its knees. Happy Christmas.
Chancellor George Osborne has revealed this year's autumn statement with the growth in the economy, reforms on stamp duty and spending on roads and flood defences all announced. Osborne also announced that Britain would take the lead in a new mission to Mars, part funded by Amazon, Google and Starbucks to find a new tax haven. Ed Balls accused George Osborne of using diversionary tactics to disguise the increase in government borrowing this year. Cameron accused Ed Balls of masso-sadism, thus proving that the Tories are now doing to the language what they like to do to each other in private. Ed Balls was quoted in the Commons as saying, "Every target missed, every test failed, every promise broken," before someone pointed out he was just reading out lyrics to Every Breath You Take by the Police. 2 points to Jem. Holly, why is the NHS telling expectant mothers to ward off wards?
Well, this is the story that's out this week, that new mothers are being encouraged to have home births. And I have very mixed feelings about this. I'm not pregnant, but I am recently married, and I'm feeling the pressure a bit. I mean, as soon as I got married, I went to see my mum. She was like, "Oh, my God, when are you going to make me a grandmother?" I'm like, "It's hard enough to make a baby. I don't want a 67-year-old coming out of my vagina." But... I don't really know how a home birth works. I assume, you know, a mother, you know, starts, sort of goes off her food a bit, starts cleaning herself, then you get a box and put some toweling in it next to the radiator, and then you check on her every few hours, and then she gives birth. I think that's how most home births seem to happen to my animals. But I...
Did you and your mother never have the talk about...
Oh, please don't tell me we're about to have a talk on Radio 4.
I'll give you the Scottish talk, Holly, OK?
What's that?
There'll be a man and a woman, and they'll lie together in the dark. 9 months later, there'll be a child. That's it.
I love it when you talk dirty, Fred.
So, a light bulb is your major contraception? I genuinely feel quite strongly about this, because I know a lot of my friends who tried to have home births and for one reason or another it got complicated and they went to hospital, and there's a sort of feeling now, if you keep saying, women should have babies at home, that's the right way to do it, that's the correct way to do it, then I think women might feel like they fail if they have to go to hospital at the end. They might feel like they didn't do it right.
What if you've got very nice carpet, for example, that you've just bought, just had it put in?
Because they said home births are about £600 cheaper than a hospital birth, but they're not factoring in the shampooing.
Well, no. Yeah.
Well, you better just do it in the scullery.
All three of mine were born at home, and it is actually great because the midwives do genuinely sit and knit. It's the most fantastic thing.
My son was born at home, and you get your own midwife. It's like being private.
Yes.
And she comes to you all the time, and she's always 5 minutes away on the phone. If you think, halfway through labour, you think, this is too much, if you want to get up and go and have a bath, then I could do that. She didn't seem to bother. Just seems much easier.
Was it? Which room did your son get born in?
Upstairs in the bedroom.
Yeah, see, the bedroom I think is absolutely right, because the sitting room doesn't feel.
You're joking. You don't want
to bring life into the world in the same room that you watch Cash in the Attic.
No, not at all. Oh, when my kid was born, it would have been I'm watching this.
That's much like the conception, though.
I
My son was born the same night that England played Portugal in a qualifier for a major championship. And I was thought, God, I don't know what to do. But fortunately, we had a top-loading video machine, so I thought I'll video it, and it was great. And then later on, I can sit, you know, when everything's calmed down. And then my next-door neighbour, as these people do, spoiled it by coming in and going, oh, what about that? And I, it was a boy.
And did the midwife say, if you don't want to know what childbirth looks like, look away now. Holly's right. There's all this pressure on women now, because you get all these sort of national childbirth trust fanatics, and it's all very competitive, and it's, you had a child in hospital. Oh, what a shame. Oh, you completely missed out on the whole experience. What a shame. Oh. And so women feel really inadequate. And basically, obviously, it's going to save the NHS money if people aren't... But, I mean, you know, you don't, people say, oh, it's the most natural thing in the world. You think... It's not natural. It's weird. When you see a woman who's heavily pregnant about to give birth, you think, OK, she's a bit, you know, she's a bit fat there. You know, she's got a big belly. And then you see a baby and you think, no, that never was in there. You cannot fit, because you've got other bits in there as well. You've got bones, you've got your dinner, you've got your kidneys. You cannot fit a baby into a lady. I think the whole stork thing is true.
Apparently, the best place to have a baby is in a well-equipped midwifery unit. I imagine the worst place is still secondary school. I don't know. For an extra point, why have Claridge's made a boob over a cover-up?
Oh.
Anybody?
Claridge's is a lovely place to go for afternoon tea, but not if you're going to whip your lallies out. They won't have it. They won't have it, I'll tell you. There's a lady who was breastfeeding in Claridge's and was told that it was unacceptable behaviour. And so they got her a napkin, a great big napkin, which she had to wear. She looked like a woman with a broken arm that had a baby's leg sticking out. They put her in this tent. I think breastfeeding's fantastic.
Of course. Do you not think breastfed at Claridge's sounds like a sort of Truman Capote novella?
I think she only went there especially so she could breastfeed. If you get I don't mind breastfeeding the child, but I'm not doing it here. I'm not doing it in the place to eat in John Lewis's.
I was once at I was at Claridge's for a wedding reception, and my partner had been very unfortunate. She became ill, so I'd been so ill that I thought I'd better get a room. So I got a room, and they said, "Can we get you anything?" And I said, "Well, could you get me a couple of paracetamol?" So the next morning, got the bill for the two paracetamol, £16. Unbelievable. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, known as NICE, has published guidelines encouraging women with low-risk pregnancies to have non-hospital births, which could see almost half of mothers-to-be planning to deliver their baby away from traditional labour wards. Infections are more common in hospital wards, advised Susan Bewley, Professor of Complex Obstetrics at King's College London. Complex obstetrics is when a baby is born holding a Rubik's Cube. NICE suggested for most mothers-to-be, it'd be a lot safer to deliver the baby at home, or if you're not at home, deliver the baby to a neighbour and leave a note. And a woman has described how she felt humiliated after being asked to cover up while breastfeeding at Claridge's, the luxury hotel in London. The mother, Louise Burns, posted photos on Twitter of her baby covered in a towel. As an apology, Claridge's promised to waive its traditional towel rental fee of £300. Claridge's later explained that it wasn't the lady breastfeeding that they had an issue with, but the fact that the baby had brought its own food. 2 points to Holly, and an extra point to Bob. At the end of round one, the scores are Holly and Fred have got 4 points, but Jeremy and Bob are in the lead with 5. We start round two with a cutting from the New Zealand Herald.
A strapping newborn baby boy is understood to have set a New Zealand record, weighing in at a whopping 6.85 kilograms, the equivalent to nearly 7 1-kilogram blocks of cheese.
It's just absolutely, you can't force it.
Gives new meaning to the Cheddar Gorge, doesn't it?
Our thanks to Julian Melville for sending us that. Fred, have a listen to this.
Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. And I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Fred, whose claim to be poor is pretty rich.
Yeah, he's needing pounds and euros rather than dollars. It's Nigel Farage, or Farage, however you pronounce it. It's meant to rhyme with wherever you park your car, I believe.
What, multi-story?
Yeah. Nigel Skint. He says he's the poorest politician that he knows. I don't know what he gets exactly for being an MEP. I reckon it's around about upper 70 grand, 80,000. He gets an allowance as well. So the income's clearly there. It's obviously his outgoings, and I think I know what happened. Every time he went over to Brussels, forgot to switch off roaming. And he confessed this to a couple who are on a programme called Gogglebox. I'm not a viewer of that programme.
You really don't watch Gogglebox?
No.
You watch it?
No, darling.
Oh, no, come, it's the perfect thing. It's a group of people in their different houses,
yeah.
And they sit down and they film them watching television.
Wow.
And no, it's fantastic, because you know if you're sitting at home, you two, and you're watching television, you make these wonderful comments about it.
So if I don't want to watch television, the way to encourage me to watch it is to watch a programme about people watching television.
That's like getting six people round a table to talk about what's in the papers.
He gets a £60,000 a year chauffeur allowance. I think it's because taxi drivers have complained his views on immigration go a bit too far.
You know, I've got a theory. I think that all politicians should be paid minimum wage. I think they should set the minimum wage, they should have to live on it, and they should see how well they do living on that.
I like that, right? And I also think that anybody who wants to be a politician shouldn't be allowed to be. You should really be dragged reluctantly into
it. It should be like jury service.
Yes. Oh, is it my turn to run the country? All right. Then.
It's like firearms duty in the police. It should just be the reluctant Quakers.
Yeah.
Anyone who volunteers is deeply suspect.
All right. It's enough. What? I don't believe these people queued in the rain for an hour for a lecture on communism. God's sake, what's the matter with you people? They earn more than we do because they're better than we do.
Yes, that's
all right. That's why there are betters. There are elders, not betters, so that we have to pay them more.
We're mere cannon fodder.
Yes, exactly.
What's he spending his money on, though?
Who, oh, Nigel?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that you've seen the price of 20 fags these days.
I mean, it's definitely...
£9 for 20 fags, isn't it? £9. I don't smoke, but I can buy fags to my mother-in-law. She doesn't smoke, but I force feed her. I love my mother-in-law and I do buy her cigarettes and she does smoke, but something just kicked in there. And
she's got terrible trouble with her breathing. She just won't stop. I tried everything. Tried putting patches over her mouth, didn't work. She's still breathing.
This really has become New Year's Eve party. You've got gradually more pissed and started making jokes about your mother-in-law.
That's why people like Nigel Farage, is because he's a bit drunk and doesn't really know anything. He's like most of us, yeah. And that's why he's quite popular.
Yeah.
UKIP leader Nigel Farage has claimed to be the poorest man in politics, despite earning a six-figure sum from his MEP salary. Coincidentally, the richest man involved in politics is the owner of Nigel Farage's local off-licence. Regarding party finances, a spokesman said UKIP are a long way from the black. Well, at least I hope it was regarding... finances. 2 points to Fred. Jeremy, who's been courting controversy in the capital?
Boris. Right, Boris is getting carried away. Now, we thought that he was just limbering up to topple David Cameron and take over the country. But before he does that, he wants control of the courts. And I think this whole thing of mayors is just dodgy. I think if we're going to be a series of sort of principalities loosely held together by a sort of craven desire to follow American foreign policy, okay. But if we're going to be a country, then you've got to have some sort of idea of a uniform system of justice, for example. And mayors have got way too much power. They're just charismatic individuals. They're basically television personalities. People who do far less egregious things than Boris Johnson has done in the past have been expelled from Emmerdale and forced to do Widow Twankey. Every pantomime in the country, and there'll be many of them, has got somebody from Emmerdale. The rate of attrition, the fallout. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the air in Yorkshire or something.
Sorry, Jeremy, you know Emmerdale's not a proper place that's got a mayor.
No, but what I'm saying
sorry,
is...
I was just wondering
what
if
I'm
were...
saying is, if you're narcissistic and you want everyone to look at you, do Panto. It's only a couple of months of the year. Apparently, it's very hard work.
It is.
You get to cross-dress without anyone casting aspersions on you. You can get a feeling of what it's like to might be of the other gender and confuse young children, make smutty jokes for the dads. Do that. Don't think you can take over whole towns and run them in some vain reconstruction of your own hopes and dreams.
Why would anybody let Boris have more power? It's Boris Johnson. He's the man who makes Nigel Farage look sane. I mean, it's... Anybody tell me for an extra point about Boris's flight home this week?
Oh, he calmed a drunken lunatic on a plane.
It says Boris intervened on board a flight to restrain a passenger who was off his head.
Mad would you have to be the mad one on the plane that's already got Boris Johnson?
He was probably sitting there and there was one seat left and Boris Johnson sat down next to him and he was like, oh, God!
Boris Johnson has laid out plans to be given control of London's courts and prosecutions service. Tony Lloyd, Labour's police and crime commissioner, said it's a 19th century construct that needs to move into the 21st century, although whether he was talking about the police or Boris Johnson is unclear. 2 points to Jeremy and an extra point for the plane question. Bob, why does youth culture mean more cultured youths?
Oh, I was pleasantly surprised by this. Apparently, we've got an Office of National Statistics and they have a well-being programme where they measure the well-being of the nation. No one's ever knocked on my door and said, how are you? Are you well? Yeah, that's because I'd punch them, really, but that's just me. But apparently they've become very cultured and they know about the arts. And you know what? It kind of makes sense because I've been watching my kids for the last 20 years sitting in front of computers and laptops and thinking, what is it? Grand Theft Auto and porn, basically. But it's not. It might start off as that. But then it takes them to a lot of places. And, of course, they know a lot more than we know. So they know about classical music and they know about the world. And apparently, anyway, they're more cultured. I don't know. Although I was walking past Wetherspoons in East Finchley and it was all kicking off and it was two little gangs and one of them, do you bite your thumb at me, sir? I bite my thumb, sir. So I thought, well,
the bit I didn't understand, according to these studies, young people are a lot less likely to indulge in vices such as drinking, smoking, gambling or sex. What is wrong with them?
But apparently it's also because, you know, it's a bit to do with money. It's about what's free and what's not. So you could pay money to go to a nightclub and take ecstasy, or you could go to the National Portrait Gallery for free and take ecstasy.
It has to do with austerity.
Yeah. I saw the most wonderful thing, though. I used to work for the Tate, and they did this big exhibition on surrealism, and one of the rooms was this 18s and over room because it had this very explicit work by this artist called Jeff Koons, which is basically pornographic images but done in very high art styles like oil painting and stuff. And I saw this woman bring her very sweet 8-year-old children round, showing them everything. And she got to the room and I said, I'm sorry, your kids can't come in. She said, well, can I go in and have a look and come out and tell my kids exactly what I see? Because I feel like it's very important that they get a very well-rounded view of art. And I was like, be my guest. So she went into the room and she must have been in there for about 12 seconds, because she came back out absolutely ashen-faced. And she leant down to these two very angelic young children and said, what happens between a man and a woman is a beautiful thing, but what I saw in that room is of no help to anyone.
But I think they are cleverer. I don't know. I don't talk to my kids about it. I've kind of let them get on with it and they seem to have turned out all right. I'm sure they do know, you know, you talk about the drug culture, but if you've got a computer, I think you just Google in something and it tells you about it. When I was a kid, you didn't know what it was, but a bloke that you'd known for an hour and heard was a decent fella gave you something and you took it. But now they research it. That's what they're saying, the Office of National Statistics. They're researching it.
Seriously, somebody says, would you like to try this? You said, I'm just going to look that up first.
Go on TripAdvisor.
Yes.
Enough to be your mother. It's fantastic. We're going to stop right there. New analysis of findings from the Office for National Statistics Wellbeing Programme shows that the participation in arts and cultural events among youths aged 16 to 24 has risen by 9% in the last 5 years. The research was carried out in part by the National Children's Bureau, which I assume is where they keep all the crayons. Heard of it. The report claims 62% of young people in England visit the natural environment, ranging from parks to wild countryside, while adults are spending less time in the countryside, presumably because it's full of bloody children. 2 points to Bob. Holly, have a listen to this.
It is New Year. It definitely is New Year.
You're as well dancing. As doing air piano, do you do air guitar as well?
Yeah, I do, but okay. Obviously not on that.
No. Oh, that would be silly.
Oh. Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. That's a classic right there.
Holly. Holly, who's worried about a brief history of time for humans?
Oh, it's Stephen Hawking, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thinking woman's thinking man.
Yeah.
And he has got a new voice computer. And he's decided to keep the voice that he had from before.
Mm.
I mean, I'd love it if he'd taken on, say, Kanye West's voice.
That would have been great.
Well, he would be the best impressionist ever. Anyway, But he said out loud what everybody is worried about, that is that artificial intelligence could one day lead to the end of humankind, which is a very scary prospect. But I personally am not that scared of it, because I don't think artificial intelligence is going to end the world. I think human stupidity will get there first.
I get really belligerent with the sat-nav because I drive around the country on my own doing my one-man show, which is about the letters of John Nettles. No, it's not. It's me. It's just me talking. But you're on your own with the sat-nav, and the sat-nav is your only company, and it becomes the closest thing to you, and the closest thing to you becomes your emotional punch bag. So we'll be pulling into services, and it'll say, turn around when possible. And I say, oh, look, stop it. Stop telling me to turn around. Obviously, it's services, isn't it? I haven't had a wee for 3 hours, and I'm 53 years old. Obviously, it's services. In fact, you know it is, because you've got a program in there. You can see all the services from your vantage point on the moon. So stop telling me to turn around when possible. Leave me bide. I'll go in, have a wee. I'll get better on the motorway, and everything will be fine. So I go in, I have my wee, come back, get on the motorway, and it's quiet. And then I'm like, oh, right, so now you're not going to say anything. Oh, dear God. The silent treatment. I'm doing all the driving here. I don't mind doing all the driving. It'd be nice to have a bit of conversation to help me keep awake.
Going back to Professor Sir Stephen Hawking,
yes.
I'm delighted to hear that he's going to keep his own voice. And I've got a great admiration for the man, because about 2 or 3 years ago, I woke up one morning and had a mild headache, a sore throat and a wee cough. And what every man in the world does is you use artificial intelligence. I Googled, you know, you type in mild headache, sore throat, wee cough, cancer. Thankfully, there wasn't. But so the next step is to go downstairs to my beloved, who's sitting at the kitchen table reading the daily newspaper, and I let her know that I'm not feeling very well by doing it. Oh, sore. And she said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I'm not feeling very well. And Stephen Hawking wasn't well at that time. And she said, oh, you're not well. That man's not well. And I said something that I've never really forgiven myself for. I said, how would you know? And I was saying, he's been married a long time as well, and if he doesn't get as much sympathy as I get, you can just imagine Stephen saying to his wife, I'm not feeling very well. And she says, well, you don't sound ill.
Professor Stephen Hawking has claimed that the development of artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. Professor Hawking was speaking at the launch of a new software platform for his communication system, the first upgrade he's had for 20 years, which served him right for sticking with BT. The remarks came as Professor Hawking unveiled new technology to enable him to speak faster, finally allowing him to pursue his dream of commentating on horse racing. Two points. points to Holly. At the end of round two, the scores are Holly and Fred have got 8 points, but still in the lead are Jeremy and Bob with 10. We start round three with an advert listed on Gumtree.
Quran, new holy book in English or French. Great present for Christmas.
And our thanks to Jonathan Hill for sending us that. Jeremy, why is having a maid a sign that you've made it?
Somebody's come up with the 50 ways that you can figure out whether you're a success. And I went through all 50 and absolutely none of them applied to me. I think you have to have an orangery, two cars and a drive of 200 yards or something. And absolutely not one thing in there applies to me. So I'm a crushing failure. You're supposed to have a house in another country, which is stupid. What's the point in having a house in another country? Obviously, you know, you'd be cold and wet all the time. Think, well, I've got property. It's just not very convenient for where I live. But, yeah, you're supposed to have a house in another country, privately educated children, whether they're yours or not. If you're rich enough, you can just buy some privately educated children.
There was having a wet room. That was number 20.
Well, damp, yeah. Yes, damp. There's a front room needs a bit of work.
I'm 5 out of 5 so far.
A personalised number plate.
I've got a personalised number plate.
What does it say? What is yours?
It's good.
I had to change my name to RK42B.
One of the things on the list is owning a sit-down lawnmower and the other is owning a luxury car. Who knew there were separate items? and 400 thread count sheets.
Oh, who can count threads? I mean, sheep is one thing, but, you know, when it's dark, it's quite hard to count the threads in your duvet, isn't it?
Maybe you do that during conception in Scotland.
Count the threads?
Yeah.
No. There's not enough time. Barely count the pillows.
Seriously, try and keep the tone up on this program. Fail. According to the survey, Holly, you're supposed to have made it by the age of 41. You are the only one here who can still do all these things time.
I did the test. I don't think it's a test. Well, I think if you get it, you'll get a John Lewis partnership card. But it was printed in the Metro.
You could tick it, couldn't you?
A free newspaper. I was ticking off the ones that applied to me, and I suddenly realised I was doing it with one of those little Argos pens. And I thought, that's made all of this null.
A new survey has revealed a list of 50 coveted items that people say are signs that you've made it. Broadly speaking, if you own an Aga, a log burner and many gilets, you will have made it and probably be in the cast of The Archers. Other signs you've made it include owning an orangery, a conservatory and a workhouse holding 200 Dickensian orphans making shoes. One of the signs is enjoy lobster, as opposed to those hundreds of people who eat lobster but only as a last resort. Another one is own a lazy Susan. We usually have one of those, but she's off today. 2 points to Jeremy. Fred, who's thinking, thistle be the end of my paper?
We had a referendum in Scotland just
what
not
did
so
you
long
decide?
Ago. Thank you very much.
How'd that go for you?
And it was 45 yes, 55 no, or as we apparently call it in Scotland, a dead heat. So there's a new newspaper called The National, and it's from the same people that make the Herald newspapers who voiced on the side of the yes, and got off to a great start. And then on the 27th of November, there was a headline in The Guardian saying that The National's sales had dipped below 50,000, and then another one a week later to say it dropped below 36,000, which still isn't bad. I mean, it's not bad when you look in terms of circulation, because I think in Scotland we've got something like 14 daily newspapers, 13 and The Star, and... I think it's doing not too bad. And it's like all other newspapers. It's got a little anagram section, which every day has been arranged these three letters, EYS. they've got Sudoku, which is just like a referendum. Everyone adds up to 45. But I think it will continue. I mean, they're not going to axe it quite so soon, but it is the new newspaper north of the border.
Well, The Guardian reported that it sold like hot bannocks in its first...
Do you know
that?
What a bannock is?
It's a kind of deep-fried kilt. I don't know what that is.
With the Scottish diet, any kind of circulation at all is quite remarkable, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Now, what's a bannock?
Bannock. Yeah. I think it's Selkirk that's known for the bannocks. It's a kind of a bun.
Okay.
Yeah. You often hear lovely bannocks. And then, of course, there was Bannock Burn, which was where there was a very famous battle. William Wallace took on Robert Burns and they beat Hadrian and went on to the final.
I did like they kept saying the paper is in danger of folding. And you thought, well... sales of Scotland's new pro-independence paper, The National, have slipped significantly in its second week, down from 60,000 last week to 36,000 this week. Editor of The National, Richard Walker, declared that the new paper would not be the mouthpiece of the SNP during a speech made to SNP supporters at an SNP rally. Sales of other papers in Scotland do remain strong. The Herald has a circulation of 37,000, the Scotsman has a circulation of about 26,000, and the Sun in Scotland hasn't come out in about 40 years. Bob, have a listen to this. Bob, why might a career in the movies not necessarily be a good thing?
Ooh, that's nice. I like that. Sony have been hacked. Not just their emails. The whole system has been hacked. And Annie is one of the films that has been distributed randomly to people. It's like a U2 album. You get it whether you like it or not. And I promise you, you like it not. And the reason this has happened is because Sony have made a film called The Interview. It's a comedy about Kim Jong-un. The comedy is that they go and interview him and the CIA say, well, you're there, we want you to assassinate him. But apparently internet security, the guy I thought said, you know what, if you've got a couple of smart 20-year-olds and a computer, you can bring any country in the world to its knees. Wow. There are no superpowers.
If you send a version of Annie into every home in the Western world, I would say that could cause complete emotional breakdown.
I don't know if you know, it's the story of a ginger girl who was outcast and no one loved. It's the Rebecca Brooks story that's written down.
I think you're wrong, Bob. All he needs a couple of 20-year-olds and a laptop and you can bring a country down.
Oh.
How come it's never happened then?
Armenia doesn't exist anymore and we have computers.
Yeah.
Do you need more proof than that?
The former Republic of Yugoslavia, former why? Apple.
Yeah.
Korea has refused to deny involvement in a cyber attack on Sony Pictures that came ahead of the release of The Interview, a film about an assassination attempt on leader Kim Jong-un. North Korea described the film as an act of war and an undisguised sponsoring of terrorism, before adding, but there were some funny moments, so overall 3 stars. Add 2 points to Bob. Holly, whose foul-mouthed speech has caused a stir in the hen house?
This is that woman, Penny Mordaunt. So she's an MP. She's sort of famous for diving off a diving board in the last series of Splash. But she did a speech in Parliament in which she said the word cock 6 times. And she did it as a dare because I think she's a naval reserve.
She is, yeah.
Naval reserve.
And they dared her to say rude words in her speech, and she did it. I'm cross about it.
Well, I think the autumn statement, although it didn't include the word, it was cock.
Can I just give a quick word of warning? I did some research on this story, and if you type Parliament cock into Google, well, all I'm saying is don't click on the first 20 results. That's all.
David Mellor, are they?
No, it's very disturbing. Ed Miliband-themed erotica. It's very...
I listened to it as well. And she said cockerel a couple of times and then coxcomb. And the expression, they were cock-a-hoof.
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 Really?
Yeah, it's cock-a-hoop, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did she say cock-a-hoof?
She said cock-a-hoof.
Oh, that's some kind of weird interbreeding. I don't agree with that.
The Navy thing.
But she said, oh, it's just my Navy chums. You know what the Navy's like. You think, oh, you don't all sit around drinking rum. I mean, ships are all computerised with nice, smart uniforms. My dad was in the Navy for his for his Sims. National service, and he doesn't talk in bird innuendos. My dad is the only human being I know who can look at his bird feeder and say, oh, magnificent pair of tits in the garden, without smirking at all.
It is said to be the biggest practical joke played by the Navy since they let Prince Charles steer a battleship. So. She's apparently... she's Parliamentary Undersecretary at the Department for Communities, specifically the local communities of Cockfosters and Fannyfield. MP Penny Mordaunt has been accused of bringing Parliament into disrepute with an innuendo-laden speech as part of a dare with the Royal Marines. The MP said the word cock 6 times in the rudest speech by a Conservative since David Mellor last took a taxi. Penny Mordaunt was then vilified in the Mail on Sunday. Obscene, provocative, and an unfiltered stream of filth, the Mail on Sunday is available from most newsagents. Penny Mordaunt's planned speech on dams and dikes has now been postponed. 2 points to Holly. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they would like to share?
This was sent in by Peter Collins, and it's from the Observer magazine. And it's an article by Lucy Siegel entitled Green Ways to Go. Paragraph reads, going green allows an empowered response to death. The Natural Death Handbook is full of ideas of how to think outside the box.
This John McCreese in the Westmoreland Gazette would like to apologise to the Hafner Orchestra and Lancaster Singers for some mistakes in an advert placed in last week's paper, and they hope that their concert was a success in spite of these problems. There were a number of errors, including the works being performed, the name of the soloist, and the date of the concert.
This isn't a cutting so much, but I was travelling down here on the train, and the train manager made an announcement, and I thought I'd misheard it. And when I was in the loo, I realised that this is Virgin's attempt at humour, and there is a sign that says, please do not flush nappies, sanitary towels, old mobile phones, unpaid bills, your ex's jumper, hopes, dreams or goldfish down the toilet. And I was thinking, I'm standing in a disgusting, unflushable toilet in standard class in a Virgin train. What hopes and dreams do you think I've got left?
Let's take a look at the final scores. Holly and Fred have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Jeremy and Bob with 14. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Wyndham Mercury in Norfolk sent to us by Adrian Hall.
A new toilet has been installed at the Bullock Fair in Harleston as part of a bid to boost the allure of South Norfolk market times.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Bob Mills, Holly Walsh and Fred McCauley. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Cathy Clubston. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Tom Neenan and Jack Bernhardt, with additional material by Max Davis and Stephen Mawinney. The producer was Sam Michelle.